That's so much room over here.
Yeah. It's 8:45 on the clock. We'll call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting. We'll start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, and Thiemann. Consent agenda. General agenda: approve minutes of the meeting held May 25th, 2016. Approve all claims through June 8th, 2016 in the amount of $1,276,541.74. Approve in place on file correspondence received. Approve in place on file Beatrice Fire and Rescue Annual Report. Approve in place on file Pickerel Fire Department Annual Report. Approve District Court Summary Fee Forecast Report and Register of Deeds Fee Report for the month of May 2016. Approve appointing Wade Thornburg to Planning and Zoning Board for a three-year term. Approve correction of the times on published minutes of the committee meetings for 5/23/16 to finance, the start time 7:58 a.m. and adjourn at 8:28 a.m. Road and Bridge start time of 8:32 a.m. and Building and Grounds adjourn time to 10:55 a.m. Approve utility permit number 1049 Windstream Nebraska Inc. Placing 1,750 feet of new 12-pair cable from the intersection of Dogwood and South 148th Road North to the residence at 16348 South 148th Road. We'll be plowing in 1,700 feet of cable on east shoulder road and ditch 4 feet deep, located in the southwest fourth of Section 27, Township 5 North, Range 8 East, Hooker Township. Approved utility permit number 1050 Northern Natural Gas is placing 250 feet of replacement ground bed cable in the south ditch. They will be trenching in 250 feet of cable 6 inches wide, 5 foot deep in the bottom of the south ditch, located in the northwest fourth of the northwest fourth of Section 14, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside Township. I guess just a little bit of a question. We did some transfers, I think, on the claims.
Well, transfers to different funds.
To different
insurance
funds, and that's
and
why
the road. Mm-hmm.
Insurance and the road, and that's why the claims was or as big as they were.
$600,000 and roughly $137,000. We didn't buy any equipment for the roads department.
He's laughing back there. There's no cars either.
There's no cars either.
We have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Thiemann, second by Malman. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Committee reports.
Comments.
Oh, hold it. Forgot. Skipped. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, committee reports. Building and Grounds, Winter Lights.
In Building and Grounds didn't meet
we didn't
this
meet.
Time.
No. Right. Equalization, and nothing there again. Had a year. Finance.
Just reiterating the transfers of the funds, those are the things. And then we also, Don and I had discussed again, and we had talked about this 2 weeks ago, about wage adjustments in the highway department. We're looking at 2% is what we're going to put in the budget for that. So, that's all.
And I think this next time will be, not this meeting, but our next meeting will be the last pay period that we can approve claims for our current budget.
Right. That'll be the end of the fiscal year. Claims need to be submitted to us by the 15th of June in order to be in this fiscal year.
Did we put that Parks and Recreation grant for Pickerel? They had turned that in.
The older one? Not this new request.
The new one. Yeah, we should have.
The new request we usually don't do till we decide if we have enough money. Unless you want me to go ahead and put it in, do you guys want to vote on it?
I think we should put that in probably next time.
Should I put it on the agenda for next time then and we approve that?
Because I think they were the only one that put that in. And
yes, they are. Okay.
I brought that, yeah.
I'll put that on the agenda for next time then.
Anything else for finance, insurance? Human Resources Employee Relations, and John?
Human Resources met with Paul Hay and Dave Varner, the Southeast Extension representative for our area. And in regards to the Department of Labor and the Fair Labor Standards Act, it's going to take effect in increasing the possibly increasing the exempt amount from $23,000 to $47,000 a year. That makes a person eligible for overtime. And we discussed moving one employee, the 4-H coordinator position, from a county position to a UNL position. The university is willing to do it, although they're waiting for a ruling that determines that that would still remain an exempt position after this takes effect. And that would move one employee from a county position to a UNL position, which would give direct supervision for a UNL employee by a UNL supervisor.
It would not change. Basically, we're paying an hourly wage over there now, and we would be paying quarterly to the university a similar wage and stuff. But they are waiting on the university's legal counsel to make the determination that education is I don't know whether it is or can be exempt from that ruling. And that in the past, they've fallen under. And they're waiting for their legal counsel to determine that that again is applicable to these positions and stuff. So he's hoping to have that. They just keep telling him soon. Other than that, they don't know. So that possibility is still very much out there that position we could transfer over there. What that would do as far as the county, then it eliminates a county employee being supervised by a university employee, and it also would the overtime issue, which that position out there, they work, I'll just put it this way, different hours at times just because of the auspices of the job or whatever, so it would be work better for that position that way. So we did ask a lot of questions, what Matt had asked about putting that, and since our Ag Society president's here, I'll even mention it. That position out there is basically deals all the time with 4-H. They explained how many people we have in 4-H and what that all takes, and then how the 4-H program's involved with the schools. John, you help me here, but they basically explain that that's not a doable option, putting.
And I would guess the way Dave explained it, it's not the preferred option, in that you still move it back to where you have a Ag Society employee supervised by a UNL employee, or you know, it kind of puts a third person in the middle of it.
That's not the route he wanted to go.
Yep.
That's not the route they definitely wanted to go.
But we did discuss other, additionally, Paul was kind of surprised because no one had brought this up to him before about hours worked and
overtime.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, overtime. So he was kind of surprised by this. So we were straightforward and just kind of explained where we were coming from. And he said, well, he'll look into that right away. So even if they don't get their teaching exemption, there's still potential change there that will happen, whether it be through change in budget or a different route. They still have a pretty good idea where we're coming from now.
Yeah, but as far as counties picking up the cost of that extension educator position, 1998, there was a state statute. The legislature passed the state statute that counties are responsible for that position again. So it's not one of those that, I mean, we question it as much why. And then when Dave was here, a lot of that, I guess we got some answers or whatever
right,
and stuff.
Right.
So.
And he basically explained the extension educators tend to serve more than one county, although they primarily serve the county there. Based in, but the assistants basically serve your county.
The structure that we have a similar structure with the veteran service officer. It doesn't work for the state of Nebraska. It works
works for the county, and the county, and then there's a Veterans Service Board that they that he answers to, and then he supervises a county employee. That situation is just with the university is a little bit goofy, the way that it's there. I mean, I think that it's been that way forever, but if you look at as things change and as things move on, you've got this. We have county employees supervised by a non-county employee. And just speaking specifically with the position, not having anything to do with the actual people that are there, but just the position, the structure, just doesn't seem to be appropriate.
Well, and then we talked to Dave. We said we actually have non-county employees hiring county employees, which was really odd. The extension educator we don't pay for. Those are all from the state. But we talked to somebody when we were in Kearney last week, and
Different viewpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some discrepancy between counties who's paying for what, and I think the university treats every county on an individual basis, listening to them, because they were encouraging them to pay for the extension educator, and they said no. And Dave said there's only one county in the state that actually pays 40% of the educator's budget because of some grant system. But Knuckles said they will not. They'll still provide the secretarial staff in the building. But I think this is something that'll probably change fairly quickly.
And we do. Our Gage County's very fortunate. We have three extension educators, Paul Hay, Nicole Stoner, and Kayla Colgrove out there. And those are paid 100% by the university.
That building is it's a county building.
Right.
It is. I don't know if it's under the control, but it's used heavily by the university's extension program. But it is a county facility that is provided. Utilities, upkeep, repairs, trash, everything.
And we sure tried to give the Ag Society another benefit, but I'm not sure you want that one. I have another issue to deal with. I guess that would be what it would be. We really thank you guys for what you do out there, and it's amazing what goes on out there and all the involvement out there, and when you travel around the state, it's amazing to see what actually goes on with our fair and with the races and all that other stuff and what you guys do. So it's we thank you very much and stuff. So no, we had a real good discussion, and we did go into closed session a little while and discuss the personnel that position too then and stuff. So, but most of that was in open session that those comments, and they were recorded and stuff. So anything else, John, for human resources? Law enforcement, emergency management. Gus wanted new vehicles again. That's all I remember from it, but other than that.
Okay, now. I hit the button.
I know.
No, I don't have the agenda with me here. We discussed briefly. We had two cardiac accidents, and two units were out. I think we got one back earlier this week, and we might be getting the second one back pretty quick, so that kind of shorted us a while. I put some money in the new budget for the canine. We're just at about the amount I need right now from donations to buy, so I'll probably be getting a dog here before too long and get it purchased or start that process anyway. And then the funds that come in, I'll just put back in general fund to kind of offset that. Was my intent. Most equipment has been donated that we need, and I got a couple of grants working on yet, and probably a couple thousand more coming in. So we're kind of on track. It's taken a while, but we're getting there. I'm trying to think what else we did.
Can you comment on your budget, where you are on your budget right now, how much you have left?
Yep. That was as of May 27th, we had 87% in sheriff and 86 in jail.
So the possibility of putting in additional funds into your budget to get through the year are pretty slim.
Well, we figured we hope we're not going to have to worry about it unless something comes up.
The reason I illustrate that for the record is just that as we go through the budget process like we did a year ago, we get into some judo back and forth, but we are able to come to compromise. We are able to appropriately fund what you need. Probably not always the wish list, but we do work together.
Close.
We whittle that down, but I think we're pretty close when we put those together.
We had some pretty good size amounts going this last year, as you know, so hopefully that's carrying us across. A little is going to stay there because we just the training we're planning on doing wasn't in this fiscal period, so that money was there to have, absorb a few things there.
And I'm trying to say good job is what
I'm
trying
to say. Yeah, well, it just depends on what the public does, too.
Well, you know, right.
It's, yeah. That all depends on a lot. One investigation can take a lot out, and if my figures are right, I'm sure Don will go through and tell me if I'm wrong, because she does. I figured it was a 13% increase on the new budget for the sheriff's office side and 2% decrease on the jail side. A lot of that on the sheriff's office side is, as Myron said, is I did put two cars in, not knowing where we're going to be on it, but I have, even after these last two we got, we're going to have about four of them at or over 200,000 probably end of the year in that area. And then there was a $24,000 the mobile data. That's a first over the next three annuals. It'll go back to Don as soon as I get the budget. We'll claim that back out. And then I think there's $17,500 was for something board approved on a civil process software update. That's what it was. So that was some of the big chunks there. So
any chance of getting any more of those cars for a deal like those?
Well, I wish, but I think that was the last two we had. So, and I just rounded it off for $30,000 because it's amazing the trucks we bought. These first ones we got were like $22,000. They're around $28,000 and $29,000 now. So things have gone up. So I just rounded numbers off to $30,000, and we'll just see what we end up with on negotiations on what cars, if any, we get and then what we can find. But $30,000 don't go far anymore for cars. So.
But those trucks, those are used as regular patrol vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
Those aren't special
use,
and those have really held up well and have done a
good Yeah, they've done good pretty service. Good for us. Yes, they have very well. Yeah. So, the just so you have the record, as of June 6th, when I had the meeting with committee, we're at $7,533.79 was on the canine, and I think I've taken in about $1,000 since Monday. So, we're getting close to the magic figure.
Thank you, Gus.
Mm-hmm.
Road and Bridge.
Yes, Myron. Hickory Road, poured the floor on the box culvert extension. Should be able to finish the rest of the pouring this Thursday, Friday. Then we'll start on the box culvert on the east end. Dirt company's been hauling dirt, and railroad has not replied to numerous contacts about the crossing. This discussion has been... there's a good possibility maybe we should just stop on the east side of the railroad tracks for now till we get this whole thing figured out. And that's probably what we're going to do for now, is stop right on the east side of the railroad tracks. So the way it sets now, that would be my take.
But some of that would necessitate, even if we tried to pave from the west east and from the east west, we still have to stay without outside of the railroad right away anyway, so there's going to be a gap there that you'd have to come back later and mess with anyhow.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to get one get that completed.
For lack of a cooperation from two different entities, that's probably what we're going to do. Discussion on adding more armor coating miles to next year's budget. We've discussed this. We've got a few miles left. I think Galen said approximately 30 to get the complete coverage back to 2014.
Yeah, since 2014.
Yes.
There's just a little bit over 30 miles that haven't been armor coated or overlaid.
Right.
That's
so at the time when our representative that was awarded the bid, he said he would try, of course I know oil price went up, to be able to do that price for some fall bids. So we'll see how that comes in. We'll have to discuss that through budget time and everything else, see how that works out with Matt. Discussions on next year's budget as far as the road department, different things came up. We've talked for years about a different office for the roads department, different laydown machine, maybe a change in one of the dump trucks yet. Galen had asked motor graders to give reports on miles. They needed material. As you see, when you go through the expenses every week, we spend a lot of money on material, gravel and rock. But there's still a big need out there simply because of the weather we've had in the last few years. So it's going to be an ongoing thing to get everything back into shape. Galen's looking at getting a list for surplus vehicles at the highway department for a surplus, get rid of some surplus vehicles that's not being used. We discussed mowing roadsides. Landowners are responsible for mowing roadsides by July 15th for the first time. Basically it.
And I'll make a quick comment on the roads and the material. My son told me that on Facebook, Johnson County over there has been getting some comments, too, about their roads. And they use only rock because of the availability, basically. Well, somebody put on there that it would sure would be nice if Johnson County would start using gravel like Gage County so our roads would be better. I just had to chuckle, I told him. And stuff. So there's a lot of other issues going with that, but I just wanted to bring that up so you guys were aware of that, too, that somebody thought our roads were better with gravel than theirs with rock. So
all I heard is our roads are better, but regardless of the material,
yeah.
That's all I heard. That's all I heard.
Yeah. So anything else for committees? I will just bring up here, too, then, Monday night at 6:30 is our public hearing on the permit for the chicken barns or whatever. That's at 6:30 here. Possibility that Denny may not be there, so if somebody else has something, show it. We need five for that public hearing, so we just need to make sure to have a quorum. So if something does, you know, show up that you may not be here, let us know quick and stuff, so that and stuff. But otherwise, we're planning on having that Monday night at 6:30 and in this room. So next up on the agenda, Abby Schaderman from presenting the Tourism Quarterly Report, and I don't know if I pronounced that right.
Schaderman. You're really close. It's okay. Yeah. I believe you guys all have a copy of the report, so I'll just hit some highlights, and then if you have any questions, you can shoot them at me. So this past weekend, the Cowman's Ball took place. 4,200 tickets were sold to the ball, and about 2,000 bags were given out with information on Gage County. We did host a hospitality tour that featured Homestead National Monument, the Black Crow, and Yesterday's Lady. Those that attended that were quite impressed with everything happening in Gage County. So they were going to definitely be telling their friends to come visit us. We did host 8 travel riders back in May to visit Beatrice and Gage County. They were from all over the country and were with different publications. They dined at the Black Crow and then visited Homestead National Monument, and they were very impressed with our community. And as of yesterday, we just got published in an online article, so I have copies for you guys.
Thanks, Abby.
And there's pictures, and it's an awesome article, so.
Thank you.
All right. And then we did also receive a grant from the Nebraska Tourism Commission for general marketing of Beatrice and Gage County, and also for the solar eclipse. Homestead Days is coming up next week, and I'm actively involved in the planning of Homestead Days and encourage you to attend and visit the website to check out all the changes. For advertising, we have placed ads in the Omaha World Series program, the Omaha Olympic Swim Trials program, and heat sheets on Pandora Radio and in American Road Magazine for this summer. And upcoming events, the Pickerel Picnic and Sam Wymore Days are this weekend. Homestead Days is next weekend, like I mentioned. Cortland Fest is June 25th. Adams 4th of July Celebration, July 4th. Blue Spring Community Celebration is August 13th. Adams Community Day is August 20th. And Odell Community Day is August 27th. So be sure to save those dates, which I'm sure you guys are aware of. So,
advertising, you said there, those ads were for Gage County in general, or was that for the solar? Have you placed some of the solar advertising you were going to do?
One. We've placed the first one out in August.
That'll come out in August and stuff.
So. Yes. Okay. Yep. But for the Omaha World Series and the Olympic Swim Trials, that was for Gage County.
Gage County Tourism.
Yep.
Okay.
You haven't done any advertising for the
for the, haven't done any paid advertising for the eclipse yet?
One, it's coming out in August. It's with the Strain Telescope.
But I was looking online. There's somebody out there that's already advertising this and links the communities and links national parks along that route, because I saw something and it had Gage County in there. But so we haven't paid for that, so somebody else is putting something together. I've seen that.
We were at a meeting and I looked up the eclipse to get the ticker, because they have a ticker already online too, and mine pulled up the other one also, and it had us listed, and it, so there is another one.
Is that the it could be the National Solar Eclipse website? That it could be that one, and that's the one that encompasses all solar eclipses, and that is one that I know we would be listed with.
Yeah, we've given them information for you to put on that national website. That's a freebie. So I'll take any freebies I can.
Yeah, that's why I said there's some free stuff out there that's showing up. Yeah.
And so we're trying to find all those. We also are partnering with Nebraska Tourism Commission and some other communities. That partnership has come together. So we have a $100,000 pool of money that we're putting together. And the first ad that we've purchased or have committed to with that is the Sky and Telescope magazine. Next year is doing a special edition that's going to come out before the eclipse. And Nebraska is going to be on the back cover. So, and that will go out to a lot of people. It's going to be a special collector's edition. And so we will be on that Nebraska map in the back. So we got that one, and I got it for them for about $4,000.
Has there been any of that controversy that's taken place at the tourism in Nebraska that would affect any operations down here at all? Is there enough layers there that it's not going to affect anything?
It's interesting you brought that up. I was going to have a conversation with Gary and then start the conversation. From my understanding and my knowledge, some of the things that are going to trickle down from that are going to be more. There are people that want to create legislation that make sure that all of the visitor committees are done exactly the same across the state, and all of the money is spent exactly the same across the state, because it's not. And one of the things that I'm concerned about, and I've already talked with our, we've had a conversation about a year ago with our advisory committee, is one of the things that's going to, one of the recommendations is going to be term limits. And we're one of the few counties that's never enforced term limits on that board. And we've had people on that board that's been on there since the beginning. And so that's going to be a discussion that we're going to have to look at. And I would rather be ahead of that game before it's told to us by the state that we're going to have to do it. So Abby and I have talked about it. And the other thing is that I'm concerned about is right now we have a 7-person advisory committee. And by state statute, that means we have to have 2 lodging representatives on that committee. We struggle with that because they don't want to be involved. So we may have to look at, I totally agree. We may have to look at going to a 5-person committee when we only have to have, by state statute, 1 lodging facility. We have a lodging property that wants off, but we've asked and we can't get a replacement for her. So, but by state statute, if we have a 7 board, we have to have 2. And we don't have that huge a pool here. So there's discussions that we're going to have, and this is all preliminary. And because you asked, I'm saying this now. But I think there are things that we're going to do. And I will say one of the things that I'm really happy about is when I came here, the tourism money always just used to go directly into the chamber account. We have it split. So there is a record. You can see the coming and the going, and it's no longer mixed with the chamber.
It's very good.
Which would have been a huge red flag.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes.
In my opinion. So, you know, those are some of the changes that I have made since we've come, because I know that part of the industry really well. How much trickle-down effect we'll have, I don't know. But there's going to be a lot of look this legislative session on the commission, the makeup of that commission. One of the things I've always been concerned about was Southeast was never represented on the commission. And, you know, I fought that fight for a while, then I backed off because I was coming up against really heavy brick walls. Now I kind of want to make sure that happens again, because I think it needs to be fair. There were commissioners that were bought the sale of goods of line and sinker from the director and didn't ask more questions, and that's going to have to be looked at. There were commissioners that kept asking the questions that were had their jobs threatened by her. It really is a convoluted mess and an embarrassment, and I want to make sure that doesn't happen here. So when I look at tourism the way we do it, I think we need to take a proactive approach to certain things. And so, yes, I want to have some discussions.
What body would, does this county board have to have that, make that ultimate decision to go from 7 to 5, or what yes. body determines that?
You guys determine that.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'd love to have, I mean, if we want to have a small committee that has a discussion, I would love to be part of that. I know those state statutes because I helped write those state statutes. So, you know, I understand that, but I think we have to look at those things, and I think we have to look at having term limits, however they are. And, you know, as much as I really, we have some great people on the committee now, I do believe that there needs to be some rotation. I think that's going to come. I think it's going to come down, you know, in the next several years, and I would rather us be ahead of the game.
If you're already having trouble getting people on that, though, if you term limit them.
Hotel people.
That's the only group that you're having. You'd think they'd be some of the ones that would be most interested.
I would agree.
But I would agree with that. We should have them, because that would be taxation without representation. So the fact
that you get those, yes.
they should be on there. And right. you think that they would want a watchful eye, because they have to report those.
Yes. But truly, Abby's ask, we're to the point of going to one person that we've identified and begging. I mean, that's where we're at.
And does it have to come from the motel industry? I mean, does
that's one just statute
but,
says.
But bed and breakfast or the RV parks don't qualify?
They qualify. Mm-hmm. They collect lodging tax.
Okay.
And we have one now that represents a B&B.
Okay.
But he's also been on long enough that, you know, maybe we can squeak a couple more years out of his term, but if we're going to go to the term limits thing, we have to figure that out.
Yeah.
So, but that was a discussion I was planning on having with Gary. But
so potential legislative changes, they'd have to be proposed something over the summer or the fall. It would be till the next session.
Oh, it's probably going to be a couple of years before it
okay,
takes.
Okay, so we've got.
We have some time, but I would rather us be ahead of this game than.
Yeah. No.
You know what I'm saying? Than be one of the counties that are caught and said, you guys didn't do this right.
Yeah, that's the state telling us that.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate irony.
Right. So that's, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. It'd
be great to have those discussions, start those discussions, and visit with Gary or visit with whoever here, and we will be glad to be part of that. Because, yes, that's another board that basically this board helps oversee.
Correct.
So,
and you are responsible, and you are
responsible for those
and
dollars.
You're responsible for the bylaws and which need work, and you're responsible for those advisory committee members because you need to appoint them.
Yes.
Is there any effect with, you know, as we get good news and things happening in town, is there any effect with tourism on that? I know just because businesses are opening or things seem to be potentially moving the right direction again, maybe. Do you see any effect with that on tourism or bringing people in to see the area, potentially getting them to stick here a little bit more? Or?
I guess, what are you, like, I will say, like, our antique stores or, like, thrift shops, those bring people in because people like to come look at that kind of stuff, and they will see the community then and then go visit other places.
To answer your question, I know where it's going. We see increased business traffic, yes. And hopefully then they will in turn bring their families back if they have a good experience here. But we are seeing increased business traffic.
I guess that is what I was trying to ask. Yes. Are you seeing any difference
in the hotels?
Changes?
Yes, because our lodging taxes are up. What I do know and what I did find really interesting was the months that we are doing heavily marketing, our website, our Google Analytics and our websites are jumping. So that's a way that I can show that it's being effective.
So in other words, when you're spending advertising dollars, you're getting a response.
We are getting
that's
a
how
response.
You're tracking that.
That's
yes.
how we track it. And by the number of people that come to Homestead. And on the flip side, you know, if things aren't going well, you know, we're seeing a decrease in business, you know, in a business in town. That's typically a business that brings in a lot of out-of-town, out-of-state travelers. You know, so, yeah, it does work both ways. But business travel is just as important as the tourism travel. But we want those business people to have a great experience when they come, so they want to bring their families back.
Is there any way to track the youth? And I know we focus on the Homestead because they count stuff out there, but outside of the Homestead, the volume of young families and young people that come for wrestling tournaments and ball tournaments on the weekends and games during the week, and there's always something going on. How do we track that activity? Because there's exceedingly more people that do that than go to the Homestead. Those are numbers we're probably not even capturing.
The only way we can track that is if they're staying in the hotels. And if I had my magic wand, I would build us another hotel in this town because I think we need one. Because we have a lot of weekends and we've lost some tournaments this summer because the hotels are full, but the hotels don't want to play. The hotels put in a policy this year that actually caused one or two tournaments to leave.
Gosh.
And so that's always an ongoing struggle, you know, with the chamber. You know, I mean, I get the calls and complaints, well, but this is a free business. I can't tell them how to run their business, but I take all the complaints.
Well, they're building two more fields at Hannibal. The fields at Scott Street are, I can't believe how many days a week those are full.
We have people that want to come play, and a lot of them are local, so they go home at night. But those that stay, and we can track that, if the hotels will give us the numbers. But, you know, Mark told me that we lost a tournament, I know at least one, because of the new policy that the hotel, one of the hotels put in place. And they said, we're not going to do that. You know, and so they went and they're playing in Lincoln now instead of here, even though we have better fields. But you can't, I mean, it's really hard to tell a family that, okay, you may only, you know, if your kid loses and your team is done, even though you booked your room for Friday and Saturday, you can't count the Saturday, you still have to pay for Saturday, even though you're not going to be here. It's those kinds of things. So sometimes there's a hard fine line there that I have to kind of be careful with. We all kind of do. So. But I do believe that recognition of Southeast Nebraska tourism has increased tremendously in the last couple of years. So. Does that answer your question?
Good.
Yep. Yeah.
Very good.
Thanks.
No, thank you. Thank you, and thank you for the advisory board, too, I guess. I sat on there before I became a county board member, so I do know some of what the discussions are and what that all goes through, because that's another board that sure helps this board, that I guess we don't have to do a lot of the, I'll call it the homework and everything for some of the grants that come in. And
absolutely.
I appreciate that very much. So.
Yeah, and that's why state statute set that up that way for you. So it's all...
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Jurgens and Hill Holiday Inn has a ring to it.
There's some cash in there too, but
I do too. So if anybody wants to build a hotel, we'll be right there helping you.
Entertain a motion to put on file the tourism quarterly report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote 5-0 in favor. Stephanie Clark in to present the public defender annual report.
Well, I'm going to actually have Lee Thiemann go ahead and present. He has actually been doing the vast majority of the work this last year, if not longer than that. And our plan is with the presentation of our new proposed contract, that Lee will be the public defender, and I will still probably I'll continue to serve in a deputy capacity, but Lee will be doing the vast majority, which he's already been doing. So.
And we did give our proposed contract to Mr. Harris's office, so we've got
I'll
that with them.
I'll be convening the committee as quick as we can get the other two together and meet.
And I think I said last time that's about the only major change was just to change it to me instead of Ms. Clark. We're not asking for any increase in funds. We added some language to have some specific reimbursements that we're already getting reimbursed for but aren't specified in the contract. But we're talking $2,000 total over a year, so I don't think that's a whole lot.
And there was some question about that, I think, last year. If we don't join the Nebraska Criminal Defense Attorneys Association, the seminars are twice as much money. So by joining the association, the seminars are half price. So after one seminar, you're at least saving $150 per attorney per year by doing the membership. So we just made it clearer in this contract that we're asking for the membership to be paid for because it saves money on the continuing legal education.
Because we have to get the CLEs in criminal law, and they're the primary providers of the CLEs for criminal law. So it just makes sense to be a member of their organization so that we can get the reduced fees. For the annual report, as you can see, the top section has got last year's numbers broken down by quarter and then type of cases. And then the bottom section, I just have the annual from the 10 years before that. As you can see, we're pretty much right on track with the average numbers, not too high or low in any category. Felonies are a little bit higher than the average, but obviously it's not. We've had higher years in the past.
Quick question on felonies. You have a maximum of 40. So
we do.
I know it's hard to gauge a time, but approximately, because you see here, if you add those up, we're way over 40. So
yeah, it's 40 at a time.
40 so at a time.
If I have a felony case that gets dismissed this afternoon, then I can get appointed on a new felony case tomorrow.
Right.
So the idea is it's 40 cases on a rolling basis. I would say that over the past 6 months, we've probably been at our cap for 80% of that time because as soon as I close a couple cases, there's new people getting arrested. And primarily it's because just about every kind of drug possession case except for marijuana now is a felony. So pretty much automatic if anybody gets, arrested with anything, they're going to be ours.
I know it's hard to gauge, but does it take 6 months, 9 months?
I would
not
say
a year, or you would be way over here,
As far as, a felony case to
take those type of cases.
Yeah, I would say a felony case does take a lot longer than typically a misdemeanor case. Now, juvenile cases can drag out, but there really isn't a whole lot of busy time. It's just they take a long time. I would say the average length of a felony case could be about 6 months, and it can certainly go over a year and a half if it ends up going to a trial. That's one issue I kind of brought it to you guys' attention last time, because certainly the part of it is we got to have a cap because the ethical standards say we can't be overburdened with felonies because those are the most important cases, and certainly we don't want to have people that are complaining that they're not getting adequate representation on those. If it's a misdemeanor, I guess the issue is, that's not as serious of a situation. So the problem is when we're at 40, then the court is going to have to appoint private counsel outside of our office, and then they're basically getting to charge the $80 an hour rate. From my experience in doing billable work in other counties, I would guess that the average on a felony case is going to be somewhere around $1,500 per case over the life of the case, which certainly, if you have a jury trial, that can get up to $5,000 to $10,000, especially if you do appeals and those kind of things. So, if we're looking at, right now I'm at my cap. I think there were about four or five felony cases yesterday that other attorneys got appointed on. So you're looking at just about every week there could be anywhere up to five, maybe even more, that are getting appointed to somebody else, and then that's going to be an additional drain on the budget. We're not talking hundreds of thousand dollars, but certainly it could be $50,000 to $100,000 over a year. So,
you made a statement about drugs are all, or most of those are felonies. Is that just would it be simple possession?
Yeah, like just possession of even prescription drugs. If it's a scheduled drug, which most most prescription drugs are. If somebody's illegally possessing a prescription drug, that's a class 4 felony, which means, you know, just having somebody else's hydrocodone pills or something like that, they're going to get charged with the felony, which is going to fall under our cap.
Even first offense is automatic felony.
Residue is a felony, too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the amount. I mean, if you've got one hydrocodone pill, that's technically a felony. If you've got 100, that's a felony.
Even if it's not in the commission of any sort of aggressive and negligent act,
matter.
Just walking down
just
the street.
Possession. I mean, the way the legislature has worded it is possession of any amount of a controlled substance, which contains a lot of different substances, is a felony charge.
You'd be in your garage, on a lawn chair, minding your own business, and if you're in possession, it's a felony.
Mm-hmm. It could be in your pocket, and you forgot that it was there. That can be possession if the state could show that that you had some reasonable.
I guess my point is, I could see where that went.
Yeah, I would say mostly it's going to be the drug cases. I mean, yeah, we're going to have burglaries and thefts, and we're going to have violent crimes. But, you know, a lot of the violent crimes are going to end up getting charged as simple assaults, and those are misdemeanors. Even domestic assault is a misdemeanor. It's really the drug ones that kind of, I think, spike the numbers just because drug use doesn't seem to be going down anywhere in the country.
Nonviolent drug possession is as far as your caseload, is counted the same as a violent assault in the process of a burglary.
Yeah, and when I say, you know, we got 40 open felony cases, that's from, you know, sexual assault of a minor, which can be a high-level, you know, felony charge of life sentence potentially, all the way down to simple drug possession of prescription drug or methamphetamine.
Residue even, yeah.
Got so it.
Okay.
Wait till Gus gets a drug dog.
Yeah. And I would say that's one of the dangers, is that certainly when we're at our cap, if there is some kind of aggravated assault or sexual assault, those are the ones that are more typically going to head down the road to a trial and have depositions and have things drag out. And when they're getting a private attorney appointed, certainly that attorney doesn't have any motivation to be efficient in their work. So they're going to, you know, do the work to defend their clients. So you can get a bill much higher than, you know, the $1,500 or $2,000 for a typical drug felony. You could get into the $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 just on, you know, a sexual assault case, especially if there's going to be hours spent on researching legal issues and suppression hearings and depositions. So
our hour in the state of Nebraska drug possession felony, how that ratchets up, is that regionally in the United States?
I don't think it's congruent
with
say pretty much every state is for the most part going to have the same or similar language as far as drug possessions. Marijuana is, I think, about the only one where there's going to be varying states. Here it's a very low level infraction, or here it's basically the first time you're going to get a $300 fine. In Kansas you're going to get up to a year in jail. So, and it's just a difference of opinion as to the importance of marijuana. In Kansas, a second time marijuana possession is a felony charge. Here, a second time gets you up to 5 days in jail. So it's just a difference of that.
Just so I understand this, you can have up to 40 right now. That's something that we can change, or that you could change?
Yeah, that's something that certainly we could potentially change. It's just a matter of we can't leave it open-ended, because that's
like something that you're comfortable with. Right. But instead of hiring outside counsel, mm-hmm. You're the only attorney in your office that works on the public defense?
No, we've got another attorney in our office, Kyle Manley. He's been with us for about a year and a half. He handles some of the misdemeanors and juvenile cases. I handle all the felony cases just because I've got the experience. I was full-time public defender in Kansas, so I typically had a caseload of anywhere from 50 to 80 felony-only cases. So 40 is nowhere near overburdensome for me, but if I have a bunch of misdemeanors and juveniles as well, those obviously drain on the time. But I would say that certainly I don't think I'm strained at 40. I could certainly go up, and Mr. Manley could certainly take over some of those cases. It's just a matter of we can't just leave it open-ended, because that is going to be in violation probably our ethical standards.
And I still have a few.
Yeah.
I still take some, and I can still take some if we have something high level that we need two attorneys.
Yeah.
And part of this discussion, then, I guess we'll ask Roger then, when that committee you're going to have meet, is that when they have that discussion to maybe raise that? And
yeah,
I mean,
we'll discuss everything there. We bring in the data from across the state and take a look at caseloads. Yeah. And again, that's what we'll have to look at as far as what their projection is. Ms. Clark's got 14 years experience on criminal defense work. Mr. Manley, bless his soul, has a year
and a half. Yeah, he's not quite ready to take on some of the more complicated ones.
That's something the committee will look at with all of this stuff. Yeah. To present a recommendation to
I think 3 years ago when we renewed the contract, we did raise it from 35 to 40, and then also we had an increase in the contract amount. So we did go up a little bit then, and I wouldn't say that it's any more burdensome really at 40 than at 35, but certainly the higher up you go, then, I mean, they don't stop coming, unfortunately, as Roger knows.
If we make it 45,
we'll be at 45 for a while.
By the end of the month, if not sooner.
Yeah. But,
again, in all deference, the majority, as you're talking about, as far as being drug cases, we have a drug court.
Right.
The facility was created, or the process was created, so that we treat and try and get people to help themselves rather than sitting out there and stealing from everybody to support their habit and screwing up their life as well as those around them.
Yeah.
It's a fairly quick-moving process unless somebody gets a high and mighty and thinks they're going to, beat the thing, and that's fine. And as you guys know, you support the drug court and trying the same thing, but it has to be charged as a felony.
Yeah.
If it's charged as a misdemeanor, they're ineligible for drug court. So it's kind of a catch-22. And quite frankly, people may not like that, but if the ultimate goal is to try to help these individuals so that they can get back into working and supporting a family and the other consequences that we have to deal with in juvie court, it's a necessary evil. But it does cap you guys out.
Yeah.
A lot of court.
And I would say that the other thing.
We have to look at that from drug cases versus just felonies. Because I agree with you, if it's a sexual assault of a child, sometimes it gets resolved, but it usually requires a lot more.
Yeah, they're going to drag out a while.
When
you've got a person that's looking at probation or drug court, they typically aren't going to have too much inclination to fight their case tooth and nail. But if somebody's looking at 50 years in prison, they're going to want to go down with them swinging. So they're going to want us to file every motion under the sun and fight everything. And I think the legislature has made some changes. They just changed some penalties for a lot of crimes. And I think they have recognized the increased amount of inmates that are primarily drug offenders. And they've made some efforts to try to they've changed the way the statutes read to put more people on probation and to try to, I guess, decriminalize some things. But for the most part, there's still kind of that fine line of everything but marijuana is pretty much a felony. Certainly we can avoid prison, but there's still going to be a felony charge.
Dollars and cents wise, does it make more sense to up that number of felonies per office? Or I guess I don't know how this is written, if it's per attorney or per office.
We just say for the office. We try not to like pigeonhole and say, I'm only going to do these, or I'm going to do 40 and Steph would do 5 or something like that, because we can kind of ebb and flow. If there's a more complicated case, one of us might take it, or if it's, sometimes we get a criminal case and a juvenile case that are both connected, and so it might be something where the one who is already handling the juvenile case will take the felony case. So,
well, I mean, that might be something. I guess I would ask if you could look at that. Where are the dollars and cents at? If this is a continuing trend, as much as I ask the sheriff to leave people alone, these are the cases that I think we really need to look at, because keeping the drugs out of the kids' hands are, just incredibly important.
And this board, not knowing how involved it all is, a lot of times looks at the dollars and cents, I guess, and that's where we'll have the conversation with Roger. But we're glad, we're thankful for a board that will review that and decide what's best.
And if the efficiency is there.
The other thing, and I mean, there's several variables now where we have, basically their office, it's up to them how they structure the dollars and bring in other people or whatever they want to do. What we look at is make sure that there is representation for these people, and again, that's a requirement. That's not, I know a lot of people don't like that, but that's the way it is. And most of them do get appointed in Gage County, and I'll leave it at that. There's people that drive in, and they got very nice vehicles, and they're getting public defenders, and there's a perception sometimes with the criminal or the defendants, they don't want the public defender, because in some counties, in some areas, they aren't. as good, if you will. That's not the case in Gates County. That's a personal belief, and you know, I firmly believe that, though. But you know, we don't have quite as big a problem. I see, like when we had Seed Task Force, that was always because a lot of times we'd work for a couple years behind the scenes trying to break up a ring, if you will, and all of a sudden we've got 8 to 12 people. Well, there's no way.
Right.
They're going to get all of those because they're all a lot of times interrelated, so they get one.
Okay, yeah, that,
now we got seven yeah. to 11 people that need court-appointed attorneys. So those are the ones, and you see it in, you know, it happens from time to time because the State Patrol is still working with us, and we have ongoing investigations. So that one really can't, you know, the only thing that helps on that, again, is the drug court option that a lot of people don't want the felony on their record, and they do actually want to help themselves. So that does help, even though at the time, and that might be something we can look at as far as trying to, without increase, it'll increase their numbers, but hopefully not the actual caseload. You know, and as Mr. Manley gets more experience, you know, he can work with those too. It's yeah. just a matter we all have to go through.
I'm confident Mr. Manley could handle a lot of the drug possession cases. They're not, there's some misdemeanor and juvenile cases that are 10 times more complicated than whether somebody had a bag of meth in their pocket. So that's not the most complicated.
Again, we'll, a lot of what states. You're expressing, we'll certainly look at that from the advisory board and come in. And that brings in, you know, a member of the, two other members of the community. One's an attorney and one's a non-attorney. So they bring, you know, a different look, if you will, at the contract and what we need to do as a board here.
And even if we have 8 attorneys and whatever amount of money, there's always going to be conflicts. There's always going to be people who, there's a certain population that tends to have a large number of cases. So there's always going to be those conflicts. So no matter how many felony, wherever we cap the felonies or wherever we do as far as staffing, we're never going to be able to do 100%. We can't ethically represent when there's a conflict.
But and just in regards to the cap, I would say if you look at the numbers for 2015, you can see the felonies drastically dropping down to 9 by the fourth quarter, and I am quite sure that that's because of the cap, not because there weren't as many felony cases being filed. That's because we were not getting appointed on those because we were already at our 40. So, because as you can see, the rest of the numbers are just in line with the rest of the quarter. So, and we don't have a cap on misdemeanors or juveniles or those kind of things. So. Any questions otherwise? All right.
No, thank you very much for coming again. And
thank you.
Look forward to the contract.
All right. Thank you.
Entertain a motion to place on file the annual report for the public defender.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, second by Bauman. Vote 5-0 in favor. Next up, approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for Gates County Fairgrounds Speedway and Beer Garden Midway for the Gates County Fair, July 26th through 30th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion by Bauman, second by Jurgens. Would you? This is. You want to comment or anything or?
No, sir. I don't have any comments. Basically, it's the same thing that we've been doing for the last several years. No really additions. The Tuesday night one, we may or may not have the beer garden open that day. I just put it in so we were covered in case we decided to do something with that. So,
you know, giving his.
Anyway.
Okay.
Basically, the same thing.
We have here on file, too, letters from Gus, basically not fully aware of it, and he's fine with the applications.
Okay, thank you.
Seems to be a popular tent.
Yeah.
Good luck with your bake sale.
Jurgens. The one I heard was Jurgens before Thiemann. So, yeah, Jurgens, I had Jurgens seconded. So, any other questions or comments for Steve? If not, vote 5-0 in favor.
Thank you.
Satellite license for Ben?
I don't know.
Approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $6,600 to the state institution's budget from the general fund to finish paying for the obligations of the budget.
16-09.
Motion to approve.
16-09.
Second.
Motion by Bauman and second by Hill. And I think we'll have Don explain this one a little bit.
Okay, this is to transfer. I received a bill on EPCs, which is emergency protective custody from Region 5, and one individual alone was almost $7,500 to house that individual. So that caused my budget for institutions to go over. So we have to transfer money in to pay that bill because the bill overall was over $8,000.
And the arresting agency was not the Gage County Sheriff's Department, but by state statute, we're on the hook for it.
Is there any way to hedge that or protect ourselves from costs like that, or is this just something we're going to start seeing?
Roger's more of an expert on EPCs. We'll let him talk about that.
Having gone through this, no. And if they're from our county, they're ours. We have situations sometimes where they go up to Lincoln for a brief period of time, whether it's to the mission or some other place to seek help. And again, it's one of those situations where if they then have an EPC or problem, we're going to get billed for it. And it's a matter of, in all fairness, it works out okay. I mean, it may seem like, well, if they're in Lincoln, Lincoln should take care of them. Well, obviously, there's a lot of services available in Lincoln that we don't have down here. So if that ever happened, it would be a very short period of time because the legislature would change that in a hurry. And quite frankly, they do it like Region 5 is a big help for us. And, you know, if Denny was here, you would certainly echo that. They get us or negotiate rates that we otherwise couldn't do. We have, I'm sorry, we just don't have that kind of clout. And when we need those services, whether it be the deputy or an officer at Wymore or Beatrice, you need help immediately. And it's good to be roughly 35, 40 minutes away from that kind of help. And so that's a long answer to your question. Is
do you anticipate this, just like our felonies going up, do you anticipate expenses like this going up? I'm just trying to think for planning ahead purposes.
I would tell you they're not going down. And the big picture on this is the federal government, in its infinite wisdom, has decided that people with mental illnesses should not be in institutions like Mosaic, or BSDC, but we should put them out on the streets, where, unfortunately, they're going to have more interactions with the community and sometimes run into criminal issues. That doesn't work. And I'm sorry, it's just the system, that the way they're going, is not solving the problem. It's really creating a bigger problem for all of us to deal with these folks that need special help. And, Gus is constantly, looking at those kind of situations when people are brought in, and whether it's mental health or a criminalistic attitude, behavior, he's got to get them off the streets. And that's just very difficult. But do I anticipate it'll go down? You could ask Gus, too. I do not see any decrease in this type of situation, nor do I see any answers on the horizon from the governing bodies, and I'm talking those above county level. Well, I got everybody mad now.
I don't know if you attended that breakout session. It was on juvenile diversion, and some of the bills that they passed are coming into effect here in July, and the assistant county attorney for Lancaster County gave you that presentation, and it was quite, I'll just use the word disturbing, what some of the things that all are going to have to be part of the program, I guess, anymore and stuff. And they're in Lancaster County, they're challenged, but a lot of the smaller counties, we don't have that, I'll call it that resource that they have. They can designate some part of their office to handle that. And, here it's kind of with everything else. So it's some of these things and some of these areas, what we've been discussing here in the last 15, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever, that they will be more of a challenge as we go forward.
Well, I always tell people, be wary when the state's going to tell you how to do things on a local level because they do them so well. And again, they just don't. And, you know, whether it's education or the juvenile diversion program. And again, I've got a really good person in there. Christina's terrific. She's got really good people that work with her to help these kids out. And, you know, we're constantly doing surveys and all kinds of stuff. I spend at least three a week I have to send in. And it's all geared toward that data, you know, evidence-based. So then they can go back to the legislature and change it and let the state run it.
Several of the breakout sessions, there was another one from the National Committee there, too. Anymore, it's data-driven. And the lady finally says, you guys think this is always a waste turning this in and filling out some of these and doing some of these things. You don't do that. We don't have that. The first thing they ask, well, where's the data? It's data-driven anymore. John.
And being Denny isn't here, I'll add this. These numbers of EPCs, it's not just from the downsizing of Mosaic and BSDC in the state. It's from the loss of regional center beds for the truly mentally ill.
Right.
And of the EPC primarily. Bills that I've seen, this was probably the largest, and this was one individual that was housed for quite a lengthy period of time. So our bills, you know, run $500, $600, $700, $800 when we get them. This was a
big one,
extremely high one.
So I was just wondering, even for budgeting, though, looking
I know
looking
I don't
forward,
know
just that's tough. There's no
that's
real
tough.
Way to plan for that.
So, any more discussion? If not, we have a motion and a second to transfer the $6,600 vote. 5-0 in favor. Discuss and approve or disapprove the GIS workshop program for the highway department.
She is supposed to be coming.
She.
Do you want to take a break?
Why don't we take a few, 5-10 minute break here?
All right.
Because we had an individual that was here, Jeannie Andrews, I think, was here Monday and gave us a GIS workshop for the highway department. And she sent, and I think most of it today will be discussion. We won't really be approving because we'll have to have more discussion on this and the budget and everything. That's part of what we have GIS for the assessor's office. We don't have it for anything else, but she's been showing Don and some other people some stuff in the county that would really benefit. So we'll have more discussion.
I thought Supervisor Juergens was going to do the presentation.
No. Like I said, Jerry. I've already heard it once. So I don't need to hear it twice. So I'm going to go.
Hold on. We have to have five people here for a quorum.
You're not going out today.
I'm not excusing you today.
Oh, wow. Hit the gavel on.
Yeah.
We're
taking a break.
You just want me to take you
hey on the ground.
We adjourned the meeting at 10:03, and next up on the agenda was to discuss and approve or disapprove this GIS workshop program for the highway department. We did have, she was here Monday and probably here for, I don't know, almost half an hour probably, and discussed about what we have it in the assessor's office, the GIS workshop. That's what's already up on the website for everybody to go in and look at their properties and stuff. Since then, I guess she's visited with Don and with Tim, too, also. Everybody got another sheet or two here about some more things and some costs that she will if some of these added on. And there are some things that they're developing that would really be very beneficial. So I think what we're going to do is we'll try and have her come back at committee meetings or board meetings next time.
Board meeting. The biggest thing to me, of course, I don't get that computer stuff, but most of these things we're talking about, they could incorporate on bridges, culverts, everything in the county that's out there.
Right.
This is all in a paper file. A lot of it is, or in Galen's head. When eventually there'll be a transition. For the next guy coming in would make things 100 times easier. It would all be down there, just the things she mentioned. And the cost to me was minimal.
Yeah.
Because we already have it, in the assessor's office. But you know more of the technical.
Well, most of these programs, there's going to be a first-time setup cost, yep. And I can't remember exactly her dollar amount.
What was the cost that she talked about?
$6,400 for a first-time setup cost for that highway department, and then there's a yearly, just like our assessor's office.
Myron, but the other thing is that, you know, we have that GPS tracking through Verizon right now. Right. They could do the same thing. Cost could be lowered there, too.
Yes.
It was minimal cost to do that.
Right.
So you could incorporate it into one.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that would be very, very beneficial. I think part of the reason we're having this discussion, too, is Galen brought it forward. She contacted Galen and then brought it forward, and it's for budget planning and stuff for next year. So there's time yet to make this decision. But since then, she's come down and showed Dawn some of the things that they have a program for the clerk's office and a program for emergency management. One of the things she showed Tim and Don was for emergency management, if we have an area affected by FEMA and they need to know the value of that property in that area affected, apparently they can just draw an outline of so many things, hit a button, and it'll come up to the dollar value of all the property in that area and stuff. So there's things that would help a lot. So we will have her back again and visit some more. So it's something we're very interested in, but we'll just see. So
we take no action today. I might be heard.
Okay,
there.
Hold it.
Okay, this is Dawn.
She's maybe calling.
She's just up the road, Jerry. Another half hour.
I'm out of here. You got a quorum or not, boss?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like the record to show that Supervisor Zurgens is here after 10 o'clock.
Indeed.
Against his will. Yeah.
Oh, Terry.
That's my guess is by the door.
Right now we're discussing it right now. So, yeah.
He did stand up.
He would come to the next board meeting. That would be great.
He's like the sergeant of arms there. He's just not going to let you. You won't let me go.
That'd be good pressure, guys. Take care of taking Jordan down.
Or the other way around.
No.
Okay, she said that it rained really did the other weekend, so she's has not left that.
She said that's where you need the camera.
The next I can tell you what she told me when she came into my office as far as talking to. She gave this first sheet, and she indicated the cost that we pay for the assessor and the cost that it would be to add the roads, which is the total of $8,500 or basically almost $8,600. And the, some of the things that she listed for the emergency management, too, was there were some things behind the scene, but, you know, where water locations and things could be if there was an emergency, that they can pinpoint that, and your bridges so that the emergency vehicles can get across, cell towers. You know, that's not on the public side, but on the for the working side of the emergency management. But she showed me the totals, and for the basically $8,600 for the two offices, you can add all four offices for less than $11,000. So it's relatively less to add on offices. So those are some of the things.
Because when you do four or more offices, then there was a discount. Matt?
Well, we've talked about this being in the roads department, and there appears to be a necessity just because the volume of records that are there and the ability to have some retention there that's not on paper or in Galen's mind. But we haven't really talked about some of the other things. Are we looking to go all in on GIS then? Because basically everybody would be in on that. Is it really something everybody's going to use? We know there's a records retention issue in the roads department, and the availability to get that, and with all the data they're requesting, are we getting it because we can get it, or are we getting it because there's actually viability that we're going to do something different than what we're doing now?
Well, in my portion, what she's explained to me is I can build layers, because when people come in, and it would be primarily for my voting system, when people come in to register to vote, we have to know, and if they build a new home, we have to know where they're at, where they're located. Sometimes it's a matter of what district they're in, which side of the line they fall on. And so the way I understand with her, the lines are clearly drawn. Then they also throw in, because in an election, our lines are drawn not just by where you live and you vote by where you live, but then there's also ESUs, there's supervisors, there's NRD districts. All of those will be layered onto this so that when we talk about an election and we talk about ballots, we talk about splits. And that's a split is a different ballot face. So when you go to the polls to vote, some of those poll locations have had up to 20 some different ballots. And it's all because one issue may be different. So those are all different things that we have to figure out, not just by what issues you vote on the federal level, but also the NRDs. Like I said, the ESUs, they all create their own line. City councils, they all create a different line. And so these can all be layered on, and it pulls the information from your roads and your assessors. So there is some benefit there.
I know she stated it, but what would be the yearly fee then? Once it's in place,
what is $11,000
a year?
$11,000.
Well, for the roads department is $3,500, and if it's in conjunction with the other departments, it's $2,625 a year.
The yearly fee.
Right. But that's if it's in conjunction with three other departments.
Right. If you do everything, okay. The initial setup cost, because the assessor is the only one that has it now, the total setup cost would be $17,180.
Okay.
And then the annual subscription would be $10,965. So $17,000 and $11,000.
I added down those, though, unless I did that wrong. I came up to $11,693 with that 25% savings.
But if you ever drop one of those,
then you're back.
And
you're back
all of them come back at the original.
Which you'd be price. Back to.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you, that's one of their marketing things. And, but to get to 25%, like you say, you got to, everybody gets on board.
But even the 25%, I'm getting a different number unless I'm adding these wrong. I come up to.
No, that's right. I wonder if the maybe the emergency manager.
It's 11,000. Is it? What's the rough?
I wonder if the emergency manager tab isn't discounted.
Well, I guess just to try and assign a value to an expense here, if you take 365 days, take out the weekends, you're down to 260-some, take out the 8 holidays, roughly 250-some county business working days. And if you divide that 17,180 by 253, you get up to about $70 a day. And then the annual, when you get into the maintenance part of it, is $43 a day. Is there value moving on, after the setup is done, $43 a day for this service for all of these departments? I guess that's to try and assign a value to that. $43 a day after the initial $68. So for the first year, you're going to spend $130 a day. And then it's about $40-some dollars a day.
I guess my question would be for Galen then on this. If there's anybody that's going to have a cost savings, you're going to have a major convenience on it, but I don't know if you'll be able to attribute a cost savings to it. You had said something about if you had each of your structures listed and you knew exactly what they are for links and things like that, you might be able to recoup some cost by not having to load extra equipment and stuff to go out to work on something. But what else would you use this for?
You could track your costs right now for structures under 20 foot. Yeah. You know, when we go out, you just figure out what the guys turned in on their timesheet. But we don't, it stays in the timesheet and then it goes in you might say a box. If you want to find it, you got to go back through years of buck. Or if you had this on in a program, you could track the cost for each structure. When you went out and say you replaced a 24 foot tube, diameter tube, and you put a 36 inch in there,
I'll go through it again. And I just
you put that new data in there. When somebody calls in a complaint, number one, you can track it because it'll have the location of the road. And number one, is it a county road or township road? What's the size of the culvert? Is it a county size culvert on a township road or a township culvert? So you know who to, instead of physically having somebody drive out, say, to the other end of the county to physically, measure this and everything, you just get on the computer and bam, you'll have that information. So we have, as far as all the state calls them non-bridge structure, right? They're 20 foot and under. We have physically went out and measured all them bridges and culverts underneath every road in Gage County. We have that down on paperwork right now. And our intention was to someday get the time to load it on our computer system. But this here, we give that data to this GIS, they'll do that for us, and then as long as we keep applying with the updates, they'll keep applying that, so that's all kept updating for us. Right now, as far as the state-sized bridges, you can get that information through the state, because every time that we inspect that structure, there is notes and stuff that go to the state department, bridge department, and we can gain access to that, but they're also going to take and put all that into this database, so we can just get right on there directly through them and look at everything off all the state-sized bridges also.
So if you click on the structure, you'll know what was done to it, when it was done, instead of, or armor coats, you'd be able to, say, click on it, instead of have to go back through your notes, you'd know, well, this section here was done now, and this... That would be kind of nice at times. I mean, that I could see some benefit there.
The other thing that, getting into this further, but on my discussion with her, my office is required to keep the maps for the school districts. Well, we had a lawsuit here how many years ago over the Tri-County. Had those been on there at that time, we wouldn't have had to spend hours and hours hunting in the attic to try to find documents that was given supposedly to someone to say if it was Tri-County or Beatrice School District, because I did ask her about those kind of things, and those would all be on there. The census records, we would no longer have to do pencil and paper. They would be able to move the maps and assist us with the census that we have to do. Those are just a couple of things. And I just, like I said, I had a brief conversation with her on some of the things that we're required to keep. For some reason, I don't know why we're supposed to have the maps for the school districts, but...
Was only to just have one of them. The problem was there was two.
There was two lawsuits, yes. So
if the computer has two maps, that ain't going to help you.
Yeah. Do we have anything we can shave off?
I'm just hoping those Tri-County people out. Yeah. They didn't just come up with that one. Yeah. I was like,
it's about a new vehicle every year. No. So, okay. We'll have more discussion coming up on this. So she's currently we'll get her on the agenda, and she will plan on being here at her next board meeting. And stuff, so that we'll be able to ask her a lot more questions then and stuff too, and everything. So everybody has something there to steady to by our next meeting. So otherwise, anything else? If not, we'll adjourn our meeting at 10:17, and we will see everybody Monday night at 6:00.